Bom dia, Beninho. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. How are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm happy, right? So, yeah. The Lord brings us happiness. You can be happy only when you are in the presence of the Lord. And we are thankful to God for that. And I bring you greetings from the Haitian Christian Mission Churches. The same way you are worshiping the Lord this morning, they are doing the same thing. You've been praying for them. I believe 100%, no doubt, they've been praying for you too. Because we are part of one family. In God, we are one family. Amen? Even though you are from Haiti, you are from here, you are from anywhere in the Middle East, wherever you are, the fact that you have accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, you are part of this wonderful family. Amen? Open your Bible with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We are going to read from verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. It reads, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory." Lord, here we are in front of your throne this morning, in your presence, getting ready to share your word with your people. You've been talking to us, Lord, through the songs, through the prayer that we addressed to you, and now here we are, ready to listen to your voice. Please, Lord, talk to our hearts. Touch our hearts with your Holy Spirit, Lord, through your words, so that we can be closer drawn to you and to live the life that you want us to believe, to live. Be with us, Lord. May your spirit fill us as we share your word. And fill your people as they listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. May God's people say. Oh, that's so, you know, in Haiti, if you ask the people to say amen, they say amen. Yeah, amen, amen. Amen means yes. Yeah, this is true. Yeah, yes, amen. Okay? So, Charles Spurgeon, on the needs of God's power, said this, and I repeat. He said, "Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind, branches without sap, like coals without fire. We are useless." This let me understand, for you to be useful in God's kingdom, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible even says in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, if you want to continue to read from there, the Bible tells us that without God, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything. That's why it is very important for me and for you, if we want to be used in the work of the Lord, in whatever we are doing for the Lord, we need to have his Holy Spirit living in us. The seal of the Holy Spirit, or being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he was talking to the disciples. If you check in the book of John, chapter 15, verses, chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. He said to them, if you love me, keep my command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you with, to help you and be with you forever. And look at verse 26, it says, but the advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said. And going to Acts chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit came in. And when he came in, people start speaking in tongues. People started experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And now when the Jew, Peter had the privilege to talk to the crowd, to the Jewish people, and the Holy Spirit, I mean, so was so evident in the midst, was so obvious in the midst. So they asked Peter, you know, what shall we do? We want to experience that, you know, that. What shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verses 38-39. Repent and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. And it doesn't say it doesn't stay there. It continues to say, this promise, the promise spirit, will be for you, for me, and for your children. Amen? So now by the time we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't sit there. Get baptized, you know. Do what God has commanded you to do. Definitely, you will experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your lives. The seal of the Holy Spirit. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, here comes the question. Why are we sealed by the Holy Spirit? We are going to look at some reason as to why we need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why that we need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit is to indicate proof of ownership. So we are sealed by that Spirit as a proof of ownership. And look at this. Look at this verse with me. Ephesians, as we have read it. Brothers and sisters, one of the key things about that seal doesn't use black ink. It doesn't use blue ink. But that seal used a special ink. And that ink is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross, you know, have his blood shed, you know, needed water, they gave him vinegar, just to show how important you are, how he loves you, he loves you, how he loves me. So he went to the cross and have his blood shed as a seal. So now, how many of you have that sealed? How many of you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit? And I believe it is because the reason why you are here, it is because you have received the calling. All of you that God has called to be part of his kingdom, so he put that seal on you as a proof of ownership. That you are no longer belong to the world, you belong to God. Amen? You all no longer belong to yourself. You have a new owner. And that is cool. Because this is one of the things that this seal teaches us. It teaches us that there was a transaction, and that transaction is in progress. Now it's over. The transaction is terminated. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, "It's finished, it's over." So he has done everything for your salvation, for my salvation. So now he has, I don't have to do anything, but by grace, by the blood that has been shed, we are saved. Amen? We don't have to do anything for our salvation. One of the other things that the Holy Spirit teaches us, that it teaches us that we belong to somebody else. We belong to somebody else, not to, you know, the transaction is terminated. We belong to somebody else. No ownership. We have to do God's will, not the will of the enemies. When we were living in flesh, now we are called to live in the spirit, because we have a new honor. And the only thing, the third thing that it teaches us that we have a guarantee. This is what this seal does. We have a guarantee. The guarantee is that we will inherit God's kingdom for his glory. Yeah. We will inherit God's kingdom for his glory. And Ephesians 1:14, 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says, "Set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." What is to come, guys? The Holy Spirit and life's eternal. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And Haiti, one of the things that they did in Haiti, as a proof of ownership, what they do, for example, cattle's livestock, people would put their initial. For example, if you buy a car in your in your farm, and a robber go through there and they rob your car, but because of your initial that has been on that livestock, you can go to the police station. If that person get into arrest, you can claim that cattle and say, because of your initial is right there. Your stamp is right there. Initial. My name is Jonas Dollis. My initial would go GD. When I see GD on that cattle, on that car, this is mine. I can claim it. Amen? Now, when the Lord see his seal on you, whatever the enemy is doing to hold you back, the Lord can claim you. You are his. Amen? How many of you are happy to be God's owner? You belong to God. Amen? I belong to God, but not to the enemy. Now, we are still, brothers and sisters, not only to, as a proof to show ownership, to indicate ownership, but we are still to be transformed to God's image. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Look at the guarantee. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this is good to understand that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? You are free. You have freedom. No condemnation, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross to give us life and life eternal. So sometimes we want to be like stars, people who are famous. Famous people. We want to be like them. We want to be transformed to their likeness. But what about God? You know? what a privilege to look to be or to look like God. That's a good privilege. I want to be like God, but how I can be like God? By applying His words in my life, by living a life of holiness. And when you see me in my school, you see me, you can still see God, because I'm living the life that God wants me to live through His Holy Spirit. You know, in your job, in your school, you know, college, wherever you are, so you can be a good representative for the Lord. You are ambassadors, amen? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You carry in you something, you know, that not everybody has. You need to be proud to have the indwelling presence in your life, because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit to be partakers of His divine nature. Partakers of His divine nature. Peter 2, 2 Peter 2, verses 1, verses 3 to 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. When you are partakers of God's divine nature, it's not for you to become like God. Not to become like God, but to be God. No, you do not share His divine nature to be God or to become God. But you partake this to live a life that pleases God. And it does give you all the resources that you need to live that life. You don't have to do anything. That's why He gave you His Holy Spirit. By sharing the Spirit of the Lord, you share His divine nature. Amen? Now, how many of you this morning have that Spirit in you? So you may not see the Spirit, but you can feel the Spirit. When I step in here this morning, I can feel that Spirit, even though I do not see it, because of the relationship, the partnership, you know, the love that you share for each other. And this is what makes a church what it is. Where people can, when you feel broken, but by stepping here, you can get a word that brings you back to God. You feel that sense. You feel that presence. So the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen? Yeah. And this is the only, this is where you can like experience that presence. But not only you are partakers of His divine nature, but you are partakers of His work. You are doing the work of the Lord because of His Spirit that is in you. You've been helping people in Haiti, you know, by sending their kids to go to school. But as a result of that, you are sending like 2,800 kids to school. You have contributed to the sharing of the good news in Haiti by contributing to pay our pastors in Haiti. You may not be able to go, but let me tell you, we've had 183 baptisms. Yes, we are facing hardship, but ministry still happens. Amen? We have problems, hardship, but this doesn't prevent ministry from happening. Let us put our hands for the Lord for that, you know. We can still see God at work. Yes, you can still see God at work. This is what last thing I'm going to say. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22, 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says, the law is not against this. We have a list of nine traits of the Holy Spirit. I would like to spend a little bit of time on forbearance. Some of you have been grieving over your loved ones that passed away, whom God called. But I need to tell you that in your weaknesses, the Holy Spirit is there to bring you comfort, to bring you strength. Amen? Yes, things are part of life. We have to face them. But the Spirit of God is in you to bring you that comfort. Amen? Knowing that there will be a chance for you to see that person again if he made the decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? And not only that, guys, let me say this quickly. We have a pastor in Haiti under the name of Frederick. This pastor, the area in which he's been ministering, that area has been taken over by gangs. Violence, people are getting killed. And when I heard that, I called him. And I said, Pastor Frederick, I heard about the situation of your area right now. And are you safe? And he replied, no, I am not. And I said, okay, I can talk to the board of the mission here to be able to rent a place for you so you can be safe with your family. Knowing that all the churches in that neighborhood closed their doors and pastors and church members and fled, they're not staying. Listen to this. He replied, Pastor Dolis, I am staying, I'm not leaving. And I said, why you are not leaving? You're staying because it is so dangerous for your family. He said, if I leave, how I'm going to preach people about trust in the Lord? How I'm going to teach the church members about faith? My mouth will be closed. No way I will be able to tell them about trusting in the Lord. Whenever you're facing problems, hardships, I will not be able to bring them comfort about having faith in the Lord. Now, the fact that he was the only pastor that stayed, people in the community go to the school, go to the church for refuge. And we have a good problem there. Problem to feed those families that left their homes not being able to get anything. Now, the church is open, the school is open. This is where they are seeking a refuge. And I called Edwins and Miss Betty and the staff here, and I said, we need to start feeding those family because there's no way Pastor Frederick will be able to feed them. 100 families. And in Haiti, when you are talking about families, you do not see 100 individuals because we have families of 4, families of 5, 7, you know, it depends. So a lot of people to feed. So we made the decision to send them some money, to Pastor Frederick. And but the condition was so tough, we cannot really send a lot of money. We need to send portion by portion, a portion of 500, and we sent 500. And I sent him the wire number, and I went to collect the money. And after he sent me some pictures, seeing the people getting fed, and I called him back and I said, Pastor Frederick, tell me, what did you do to be able to collect that money? I know how hard and how dangerous it is. He told me, the way I did it, I grabbed a black grocery bag. And I bought a long loaf of bread. And I removed the inside of the bread. Like remove all the meat of the bread. And I put the money inside of the bread. And leave the edge of the bread open so people can see that you are working with a long loaf of bread and a black grocery bag. So he said, if one of the gang asked me for bread, I would remove the edge, give the edge to them, but I still will be able to make my way with the money. This shows, when he told me that, I closed my mouth, and this showed me the level of commitment. This is what we call forbearance. This is what we call endurance as a food that you and me needs to produce in our lives. To be faithful to God as far as producing food, forbearance. Think about this, guys. I know all of us, we are humankind, we are facing hardship some way or somehow, but no matter what, we need to bear fruit. Good time, bear fruit. Bad time, tough time, bear fruit. And I know you love people, guys. You've been showing that. Pastor Mike, get to Haiti. We are the lady that live in the bush. No place. 7 kids. And you guys have contributed to build a home for that lady. And now he has a place, a decent place to live. You are doing that. But I'm challenging you this morning to continue to bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. By so doing, you can experience his fullness in your life. And now by experience the Holy Spirit fullness in your life, people will be able to be by your side. And one thing that I'm asking you to do again, never grieve the Holy Spirit in lives. Never grieve the Holy Spirit in your life. Never quench the Holy Spirit in your life. Because when you, the Holy Spirit, whenever he is in your life, it's like fire. Fire. But now quenching the Holy Spirit is adding water on that fire. We don't want to do that. Amen? We want to have a desire to continuously live a life of holiness, a life of sanctification, to be Lord God, to be partakers of his kingdom, you know, to bear fruit. Because by bearing fruit, guys, you change life. By bearing fruit, you change your community. And you give a perspective, as Pastor Mark has been saying, to other people who haven't accepted the Lord yet as their personal Savior. We are the church. We are called to bear fruit wherever we are. Wherever we are. And when we started doing that, we will experience peace, love. All the fruits, they will be part of that of this package. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your people that have been obedient to sit down to listen to me, whose English is not that great. But I pray that, Lord, some way or somehow you've been able to communicate to them, to bear fruit, to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And they can be, wherever they are, they can be a good representative of you. And other people will be a blessing as a result of the way they are living their lives. Lives of holiness and dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they can bring people, other people closer drawn to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your mercy to us. May you continue to bless this church, bless the leadership, bless the people, so that they can continue to be the light in this community. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. May God's people say,